This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Here he is.
Ron Darling, the 20th year of Gary, Keith, and Rod on SNY.
20 years, holy
God. Yeah, I know. It really is remarkable. Mets and Astros opening day coverage begins today at 3 p.m. only on SNY. Ron, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, well, listen, you're a little late. You know, I had to backstop you here a little bit from these NARPs that I work with. They were questioning your commitment to calling in, so I'm glad it wasn't. And I know it's not your fault. It had to be the hotel's fault, right?
Well, I think what happens now is that I thought it might sound better if I'm on the landline,
yes,
which no one ever uses anymore. And there was like all of these check stops for Al to get through. So I apologize for being late.
All right. Well, it's not your fault. And I'll blame Al that he should have set this up and had you on the phone waiting by the time we started this. So let's get started. I'm sure the morale for the team and the expectations for the team are great. They come out of spring training. However, with two really big injuries, and that's in their starting rotation. My question to you, Ronnie, you're a former starting pitcher. You know starting pitching better than anybody. There are teams that are loaded with their pitching staff. The Mets wouldn't be one of those teams. Is this starting rotation good enough in your eyes to keep them in most of the games that they're going to be playing?
Yeah, I think they've got to be good enough for a month, Boomer. I think they've got to be able to, you know, withstand April to get to Manaea when he gets back. It seems like all the reports are he will be back by May 1, so that's a good sign. But they've got to be good enough here early. They don't play a lot of great teams in April. This is a really good schedule for them, so maybe that'll mitigate some of the losses that they've had in the rotation. So be good enough in April, and after that, I think they'll be fine. But you know, this team is poised to score 850 runs this year, so maybe that will help as well.
Yeah, I mean, other than injuries decimating the lineup, there's no way that this lineup isn't going to mash. I would be absolutely shocked if that were the case, and we're going to see Juan Soto for the first time in a real meaningful game. Is this a guy that you see getting off to a slow start like we've seen some other guys in New York, whether the Mets or Yankees, getting a big contract? Do you think he's going to just come out guns a-blazing right away?
You know, Gio, I would think guns a-blazing. If you remember last year, this is the second year in a row Soto has started his season in Houston with the Yankees last year, and he had some huge numbers in a four-game series. So I would expect nothing less. The only issue today is Framber Valdez is one of the best left-handers in the game. So that will be an issue not only for Soto but for the rest of the ball club. But I expect nothing less than another stellar year. He's in the middle of his greatness right now, And Soto's going to provide big numbers each and every season here, turning just 26 years old.
Let's turn it back 1 second to pitching one more time. And this is going to be their bullpen and whether or not they tweaked it enough, they got it good enough. I was looking at different stats and also looking at different rankings for bullpens. It looks like the Mets have a top 10 bullpen on paper. They're not close to what the Dodgers have. They're not close yet to what the Yankees have. And I guess this really all comes down to whether or not we're going to see the real great Edwin Diaz or not. But did they do enough in the offseason in your eyes right now to support bullpen that's going to have to support the starting pitching?
You know, Boomer, you're so right. I mean, it really revolves around Diaz. So if Diaz is great like he was three seasons ago, then he can overcome any issues that you might have in the bullpen. I think the big addition, there's one big addition that they had and one person I think that can make be a difference maker for that bullpen. Minter being able to get ready and get past that hip surgery and be ready for opening day, I think is huge. He's one of the best left-handed relievers in the game. We've seen him in Atlanta all these last seasons and how many big outs he's gotten against the Mets. He's a big addition. And the second, I think, is the health and when he comes back of Daniel Nunez. I think when he was at his best last year, that bullpen was at his best. I don't know when he's going to come back. They're trying to take their time with him. But if he comes back to any form like he was last year, I think that makes that bullpen a top five or six bullpen as opposed to a top 10. But it all revolves, as you said before, around Diaz.
Game one of 162 on SNY today, 3 p.m. Gary, Keith, and Ron, the 20th year of the best booth in baseball. Catch it all on SNY as the coverage begins, 3 p.m. on SNY. Were you surprised that Jose Iglesias wasn't re-signed and brought back to this team?
Yeah, I kind of was. You know, when you look at the two players that really wanted to come back and were such great clubhouse presence for the Mets last year in that magical year, it was Winker and Iglesias, and they signed Winker back, but not Iglesias. And, you know, I think you can make the argument if it wasn't for Jose, maybe they don't have some of the magic that they had last year towards the end of the season. He was just so unbelievable with all that he brought. Boomer, you've been around sports a long time. I've never played with a player that had a great year and also did a concert after the game. That very rarely happens. So he just was such a great addition to a great story, to a great year for the team last year. Recreating that in a new season would have been difficult, I'm sure. But David Stearns, I think, wanted to open up, you know, kind of a runway for all of his young, you know, athletes, whether it's Acuna, whether it's Ronnie Mauricio, whether it's Jet Williams, all of those players are going to want to play and are going to need to play in the big leagues at some point this year. Iglesias would have stopped that.
You know, we met him at one of our Boomer and Geo shows, and I'll tell you, we fell in love with the guy. And we can understand why he would be such a strong clubhouse presence. And with the song and, of course, with his own performance, it was so great to get a finally chance to meet him and see him in person. And we all thought he was coming back, too. And it's unfortunate that David Stearns decided not to bring him back. But I totally understand that, too, from the GM standpoint. And, you know, we're going to get another dose of Brett Beatty here now at second base as opposed to third base. I've read he's had a reasonably good spring. Everything seems to be going in his direction. What can Met fans expect from him at second base?
Well, you know, I think he led spring training in OPS, you know, for all the hitters. So he had a pretty phenomenal spring training. Second base, I would say that right now what I've seen of Boomer and Gio is that he's a little above average. I wouldn't say he's a phenomenal fielder at second base. So that is something that's going to be a constant thing to work on for him. The big issue for Beatty, as I see it, when I look at hitters, I look at, you know, if I were 25 years old again, how would I get them out? And I think the big issue for him is that in AAA, where he has just dominated, they have less velocity down in AAA, and he's a good breaking ball hitter, and he's handled less velocity. How he handles fastballs and fastballs up in the strike zone, the 95-plus velocity, will be the key to his season. He's been able to make that adjustment to be able to handle or lay off the high fastball, I think will determine if he has the kind of season like the Entos had last year.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and you bring up Vientos, as I was about to do. Those guys are sort of been tied at the hip coming up and trying to find their way, and Vientos did in the biggest way, and he looked like a superstar in the postseason. He hit, he looked the part, he looked like he had confidence. I am of the belief that this guy is going to have an incredible year and be a huge factor in the lineup and become a star for this team. Tell me why or why not that will happen.
Yeah, Gio, I'm with you. I think he's definitely going to be a star. I think, he's been kind of, because of how his career started with the Mets, being sent down after hitting a walk-off home run, all the stops and starts to his career, being behind Beatty as far as who was going to be the first one to get a chance at third base, all of those things I think has made Vientos tough and tougher. And I think that's why he's excelled. That being said, this might be the most challenging year he ever faces. Second-year players always go through a little bit of an adjustment because the league now has spent all the offseason trying to formulate a game plan to get this young hitter out. But I think he is tough. He's tough as nails, and that's half the battle in this sport. And well-seasoned, I think he's going to have a big year. It might not start out huge, but he's going to be a good player for this team for some years.
You know, with the immediate loss of Francisco Alvarez, catching obviously is going to be an issue, and Torrens is going to be be a fine defensive catcher. I don't know about the hitting at the bottom of this lineup, but the first seven guys in this lineup really is a mash unit in terms of mashing home runs and batting and hitting and, you know, key RBIs, things of that nature. You know, I really wonder about Pete Alonso. I know he wanted to be wanted by the Mets. I think he's happy that he got his one-year deal where he's the highest-paid offensive first baseman in Major League Baseball. But I just, you know, this whole Juan Soto in the lineup right now with him and Lindor, I got to believe that Pete has a real chance, to go for a 50 and 110. And I think those are numbers that are attainable because Juan Soto is going to be hitting in front of him.
Boomer, you hit the nail on the head. I think that, you know, it was kind of a strange offseason, to say the least, for Alonso. And then he's come back and he might only be here a year. He'll break Strawberry's record and then maybe he'll opt out again. But he is going to get a chance to drive in 150 runs. He's going to have people on base in front of him all season long. And, so it behooves him to not to have the kind of season he had last year. If he can turn it around and have one of the years he had in his first couple of years, I don't doubt that he'll drive in 150 runs. Lindor is going to be on base all the time. Soto is on base 50% of the time. So he has a chance to have a monster a year. And I hope it happens for him because, Pete's a good guy. We all like him and we want him to do well. And, the ironic part of it is the better he does, the less chance he probably sticks around.
Yeah, that is very true. Ron Darling with us for a couple more minutes. SNY Today, the 20th year of Gary, Keith, and Ron. I know we talked about the rotation as a whole, but more specifically, the opening day starter on the road, Clay Holmes. What have you seen from him in this very good spring that makes you believe that he can get through a regular season as a starter and an effective one for this rotation where the Mets are really going to need him?
you know, Clay Holmes is one of the good guys in the game. If you ever have a chance to spend time with him or talk with him, he's just one of the great guys. What I really admired from him is once he signed the contract with the Mets, he got after it. He was down in Port St. Lucie in the middle of January getting ready to get his body ready to be a major league starter, not a reliever. And, you know, he's going to be the first guy to start games after having a 30 or more save season since Smoltz, like I think in the middle 2004-2005. So it's going to be a great thing for him to do. He was the best pitcher of all the pitchers in spring training, not only the Mets, all around Arizona and Florida. And he had added a lot of pitches to his repertoire. You know, as a closer with the Yankees, he was a sinker kind of sweeper guy, but he's got a high fastball now. He's got a cutter now. He's got that kick changeup that he throws. So he's got the repertoire to get people out. The only issue, guys, and we see this all the time, is the high he's ever had is 70 innings. They want him to pitch around 150. That'll be the most challenging part for Clay and the Mets this year.
Very, very difficult division, Ronnie, up and down the lineups for these teams that they're going to be playing against in the NL East. You know, somebody that we take for granted, we don't even really talk about him anymore just because they had such a great year last year, and that is Carlos Mendoza, the manager of the New York Mets. Have you noticed any changes in him, and what do you think about year number two for him?
Yeah, I haven't seen any changes, Boomer, and in fact, I think that's one of his strengths. You know, when they were going through that miserable record at, you know, 11 games under 500 at one point, he was the same guy that he was when they were at the top of their game in August and September. I think that says a lot about him as a manager and as a human being. I think there's an authenticity to Mendoza, which I think is very important in this market. I don't know if you guys agree or disagree, but an authenticity, I think fans love that. The media loves that, that he's not only willing to call it straight, not only to himself, but the players, but to admit that he made a mistake occasionally. I mean, we all make mistakes. That kind of stuff, I think, is really important if you're going to be a manager or a player in this market. And I think that the final part of that and being around him, he has a real he doesn't want to be just a manager in the big leagues. He doesn't want to just be a manager of a New York market team. He wants to be great. He wants to be one of the great managers in the game. You can see it in his eyes. You can see it in his actions. You can see it in the way he walks around the diamond in spring training. And I think that bodes well for the Mets, who might be going, you know, with this new, you know, with Steve Cohen and David Stearns. This has a real chance to be maybe a golden era for this organization.
I want you to go back to the version of yourself that took the air back in April of 2006 on SNY. And you look on one side, you got Gary Cohen. On the other side, you've got Keith Hernandez. Did you think in your wildest dreams that 20 years later, Keith would be still be standing next to you?
That is a great question. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You know, there's no one like Keith. You know, I mean, we meet a lot of people, right? All of us. And there's very few original personalities. And he certainly is. And, you know, it was a pleasure not only to play with him, but, you know, he and I, to be real honest, you know, we socialized, but I wouldn't say we were close at all as players. And to become close to him and Gary, and I never had older brothers. I was the oldest. So to have two guys that I consider like older brothers now is amazing. But I that first year, I was just fighting to not screw up too much. And I didn't know, I had no idea we were going to be here for 20 years. But you guys know, with Al and everyone there, we're lucky. Greg Picker is our producer. He's been here the full 20 years, and he's been really the glue to keep us together and keep us working and keeping us trying to be as good as we can each and every year.
Well, that's why you guys are the best. I'll try to keep the text to a minimum today and as the season goes on, Ronnie, but know that we'll be watching. We love you guys, and we wish you nothing but the best of luck, and hopefully this is going to be the year.
Remember, Boomer, when the games are bad, I need all the texts I can get so I can use it on air. Okay?
All right, you got it, brother.
Thanks, Ron.
See you later, guys.